It is so sweet to hear your voices with the walls around us. It's definitely different than being outside, so I appreciate it greatly. Before I pray here, just a reminder if you got here late that there is an overflow room. If you are uncomfortable with the distancing, then you can go into that room and you'll be just fine there. And also, just a reminder that we're doing our offering the same way. The box is over there, so if you wish to put something in the box, you can do that as the Lord leads you to do that. But we're not going to be going around with the box or with the plates. Let's pray together. Father, what a gracious thing it is to sing truths from your word together with your people, to plead before you as this last song was a plea. It was a desperate plea for you to show us Christ. Well, help us to see him. For those who already know him, to see him fresh and new, to be drawn nearer to him. For those who don't, to be drawn to see him. For blind eyes to be opened. For hearts to be illumined. To understand and to receive. To trust, to rest, to turn from sin and to rest fully in the person and the work of Christ. Show us Christ is our plea. Reveal your glory today through your word, we pray. Again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to do that work of application, that work of teaching the heart. Help us to be free from distraction, Lord, to be focused, to be trained on your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all of us are facing decisions right now. There's some kind of decision that you're facing each and every day. Challenging decisions for some. I mean, even coming into the building, of course, is a challenging decision. Everything's a challenging decision. As elders, we're doing our best to make wise decisions. And then we all face unexpected circumstances. They're just foisted upon us. We didn't expect them, and yet they come. They change our plans. Maybe your plans have been thwarted. Maybe you've had that experience where you had a plan, you had a trajectory you're going on, and all of a sudden that door was closed. It was blocked, and you were unable to do the thing that you were sure in your heart you were supposed to do. And you may have had great intentions. You may have godly motives even in doing it, and yet the door was shut. There are times when that happens, and there are times we're just uncertain which way to go, and we need help. We want to make the right decision. We want to make a godly, biblical decision. I remember a time in our lives. This was before I had children. And actually, it was right when, I don't think Savannah was born yet. Maybe she was just born. It was close. Maybe you were still pregnant. It was when we went to New Ulm, Minnesota. You were pregnant. And we thought for sure, I worked for Kraft Foods. That's how I ended up here, by the way. And we thought for sure we were supposed to be in Minnesota. We interviewed, we went there, New Ulm, Minnesota, making the handy snack, cheese snacks, you know those things. And I thought for sure, because my plant was closing, and I thought for sure that that's what I was supposed to be doing. I was supposed to be going to Minnesota. And one of the reasons I thought that was because after we went on the interview together, and Carrie was with me, everywhere we were seeing Minnesota license plates. A sign from God. You are going to Minnesota. And guess what? I didn't get the job. Obviously, I'm here. And it wasn't a sign from God. It was whatever it was. It wasn't a sign from God. And I wonder sometimes, of course, I was pretty young in Christ at that time, but I wonder sometimes, have you had someone come up to you and you've been talking and say, God told me to say this, or God told me to do this? And I wonder who actually told them to say that. Have you ever thought that? Who is speaking to this person? And so we sometimes wonder, how do we make these decisions in the midst of all the complications of life, when the door is closed, when there are opportunities that are open, but there's more than one? How do we march through it? What is the right thing to do? As we enter into more of Paul's second missionary journey, one of the things we're going to see throughout these missionary journeys is God's divine leading, his divine guidance, his direction. We don't want to miss in this mission endeavor that God is leading, God is directing. There are plans that man makes, but ultimately it's God that is leading them. And so we're going to see that as we walk through the book of Acts. We want to be careful as we walk through the book of Acts that we don't take and apply something that isn't normative, that was in a special age, the apostolic age, and try to make it normative. But we also don't want to miss the principles that are clear that we shouldn't miss. And so I pray that God would help me to do that today so that we can see the principles and yet not assume that God's going to communicate in exactly the same way when we have a completed revelation. But here's what we're going to see in this short passage today, the Macedonian call. We're going to see that God's word and wisdom direct us to his priorities. God's word and wisdom direct us to his priorities. In other words, when you are facing that closed door, when you are facing that uncertain decision or decisions, when you have directions and you're just not sure which way you should go, God will use wisdom, he will use his word, and ultimately he will help us to remember his priorities. If we are engaged in his word, if we are praying, if we are seeking counsel, all the things that we ought to be doing and exercising the means of grace. We'll see all of this, I believe, in this passage today. And so don't be confused as we hear of visions, as we hear of the Holy Spirit, you know, telling them this and telling them that, that, you know, that's what we should be waiting for, a whisper in the ear to tell us which way to go. But we should apply the principles. We're going to see this in three sections of this passage. We're going to see, first of all, that God closes doors by his word and wisdom. He closes doors. God does. Now that doesn't mean that a closed door means that that's it. But God does close doors. He does thwart plans. I know that because the text tells us that. We're going to see that in verses 6 and 7. God also directs us positively by his word and wisdom. In other words, it's not just negative. It's not just him stopping us from doing something, but leading us, guiding us, directing us to do something. And then finally, we're going to see, and maybe this is most important, and this is the last verse and a little part of the previous verse, verse 9 and 10. God directs us to his priorities. And they aren't always our priorities, but they should be. He directs us to his priorities. Let's take a look at this in Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. And because it's a short passage, I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing over again. We're going to come back to this first point, but let's just listen and think through these things. Beginning at verse 6 in Acts chapter 16. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's think about this first point. God closes doors by his word and wisdom. We won't see the wisdom part explicitly until really the last point, but we're gonna see it as we go along. Clearly, we're going to see God's word as guiding, but wisdom is implied throughout all of this, and I'll show you how as we walk through this, but that's what we're going to see. I thought about naming this point, God redirects by his word and wisdom, but you know, there's something about that statement, God closing doors. There's something about that statement that's used so often, and we have so many misunderstandings and maybe proper understandings about it that I thought, well, let me just use that because God does close doors, and let's look at one that he closed, two actually. Two doors that he closed and said, "Nope, you're not going there." But they weren't finally closed. One was finally closed to the Apostle Paul, but one wasn't. And so we'll take a look at that as we walk through this. So let's take a look at these first couple of verses, okay? Verse 6 and 7. And we're going to focus on one side of this, and that is, it is good to have a plan. So before we get into the closed door, let's remember that just because there's a closed door, and we'll get to that, doesn't mean we don't have a plan. Don't be one of those people who sits on your hands and says, "You know what, when God moves me by his Spirit, I'll get up and, you know, move off of this couch. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just wait for that voice and I'm going to do something." No, Paul has a plan. Let's take a look at it. Notice, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, let's just, okay, so he wanted to go to Asia. Let's forget the forbidden part and just know that God, Paul had a plan to go to Asia. Now, I put this, I could have put it on the screen too, but I put this on your bulletin so you would have this little map, because I know I've been drawing in the empty. What's wrong with this man? And so we're going to actually use a map. And on this map, you're going to see the region of Asia. It's the pinkish area on the right in the center of that page. And so Paul planned to go into Asia. And let me just say something about that. That's a logical plan, isn't it, to go into Asia? Because remember where he was. He was likely ministering through, probably in Lystra and Iconium to the right of that page in the green area, moving towards Antioch and Pisidia, the places that he had been. They'd gone there to strengthen the churches there. Okay, so that's they went there to see how things were going there. And so naturally, the next place to go would be this region of Asia. It made sense. Look at all these cities. You have Colossae, you have Laodicea, you have Ephesus. These are the churches of the Revelation. He's eventually going to get to these areas, but not now. And let me say a word about Ephesus. Ephesus was a major port city. There are two major roads coming through this, trade routes. And so you have lots of people that are there in this region. And on top of that, you had the temple to Artemis. Artemis is famous. This temple where pagans would come and worship, and they would have festivals to Artemis, and the population would swell to somewhere around 250,000 people during those festivals. Man, that's a great place. Port city, people are coming from other places, traveling from other places to share the gospel. I mean, have a plan. Have a plan to serve Christ. That's what he had. He had a plan. He and Silas and Timothy at this point in time, and they were well positioned here. Made sense. Great city to spread the gospel. And then we go to verse 7, and we see, okay, all right, that door is shut. We'll talk about that later. So where are we going to go now? You look on your map, and you see, okay, let's head north. Let's go up to Bithynia. That region, you can see that yellow area. And so they head north from Antioch in Pisidia, and they go up towards Bithynia. Of course, God's going to close that door. But that, again, was a logical plan. Why was it a logical plan? There's some major cities in that area. You can't go to the left. You've already been to the right to some degree. You could go that way. And there's some people actually that think he went that way when it talks about Galatia, but that's a whole nother story. I don't think so. I think he went straight towards Mysia up to Bithynia. And what is in Bithynia? Well, in Bithynia, you have a major city, Byzantium. Now, it's later known as Constantinople. Anybody heard of that one? Constantine named it that, of course, after himself. Constantinople. Today, it's Istanbul. Have you heard of Istanbul? Major city in that region. Nicaea is in that region. Well, who else is there? What other city? Nicomedia and Chalcedon, major cities in this. So you can understand why he would have a plan. He wants to preach the gospel. You don't see Paul whining. You don't see him saying, woe is me, and immediately deciding, okay, well, I guess God doesn't want us to serve him anymore. He has a plan. But God can change our plan. And that's what we're going to find. And that's the point I want you to see before we see the closed door. Have a plan to serve Christ. What's your plan to serve Christ? As you wake up in the morning, what is your plan to serve Christ? What are you here to do? What is fueling the decisions that you make? Is the world pressuring you into something? Just natural, you know, course of events pressuring you? Or do you have a plan? Paul has a plan. As a result, he's out there. He's out there where God wants him to be eventually, so that God can take him where he wants him to be specifically. Have a plan. Be purposeful. Be strategic. Be relentless. Maybe, most importantly, as we look at this passage, be flexible. Be flexible. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that God's plans matter far more than ours do. We'll talk about priorities, but if you look at James chapter 4, just as a reminder, a general principle in our lives. I know it's easy to say this from the pulpit. I'm not telling you that I don't struggle with this. It can be frustrating that you have a plan and it doesn't go according to what you expected, and then you remember, okay, God knows. God is sovereign. God knows what he's doing, even if I don't. I would have never planned this for myself. But take a look at chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Now, this isn't a formula. This isn't something that you have to add to every sentence and say, I'm going to go to Aldi if the Lord wills. Because you don't want to sin against God. Because it's not a formula. It's a principle that we have to have an attitude that encompasses this idea. That we might have this massive plan, this great plan that makes sense, and there's nothing unbiblical or ungodly about it, but God says no. At least right now, no. So we have this attitude immediately say, well, God knows better. God knows what he's doing. I know he does. We have to have that attitude. We have a plan, but we know that God can change it. And that leads us to recognizing we do need to seek the will of the Lord. But we don't always get it right. We are fallible human beings. We have finite minds. You don't have perfect discernment. If someone hasn't told you that, just know that you don't have perfect discernment. Your wisdom isn't perfect. And so what happens here is, you have to recognize God may close doors. And that's what we find here. We need to be ready for God to change paths. We need to be ready for God to say, no, not this direction. And that's what happens. We see it twice. So God may block our plan. That's what we see in verse 6. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I mean, they had to be just chomping at the bit. The Apostle Paul, you have a sense that they're just ready to get into this new area. You know, he wants to go where a foundation hasn't been laid. He wants to get into Asia, but God says no. He says no. By the way, this region probably, if you look at your maps, you see Phrygia and then you see Galatia. A lot of people believe that it's what's known as Phrygian Galatia, that it was Phrygia before the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire basically mapped out Galatia, and then Phrygia was still there. People knew it as Phrygia, and so that might be why it says Phrygia and Galatia. They didn't go through all of Galatia, but that they were in that region, that area, and that just draws our attention to where they probably were. But they were forbidden. God has something else in mind. We might think it would be good to speak the word everywhere. I mean, can you all agree that, man, it's good to speak the word everywhere? It'd be good to speak the word there. But somehow God makes it clear that they were not to. Now, that brings up a question. How did the Holy Spirit forbid or block them, right? That's the question. That's a good question. Was it a vision? I don't think so, because there is a vision later, and it's explicitly stated that it's a vision. I don't think there's a reason for us to think the vision, there was a vision this time. Otherwise, it probably would have been stated as well. There's nothing wrong with a vision at this time. This is the apostolic age. Revelation hasn't been completed yet, God's special revelation of his word. And so God was speaking in different ways than he is today. That's not normative. The vision isn't normative. Maybe it was just the circumstances. Maybe there was danger. Maybe there was health issues. Who knows? I don't think that's it either, because they were forbidden from speaking the word and they kept going. So it doesn't seem as though there could have been danger, but there was danger everywhere. They just went back to a place where Paul was stoned. So I don't think danger would have kept them from going there. So what does that leave? Probably a couple of things. One is God's word. Prophecy. You say prophecy. Oh boy. Well, remember, Silas is a prophet. Paul's the author of a good portion of the New Testament. Paul's a prophet. So prophecy is a revelation from God. In other words, God revealed to them truth. So we at least have two prophets that are there. So God made it clear. Well, that's probably what's going on. But then there's another possibility, and that is counsel or wisdom. Do you think they talked about this? Maybe one of them said, we're not supposed to go here. And then they probably talked amongst one another. Maybe they talked with some of the churches. And there was confirmation. Yep, we're not supposed to go here. This word is from the Lord. Whatever it was specifically. They were not to go. That's all we know. That's where I get implicitly wisdom. There's revelation and likely wisdom. There's likely confirmation going on here. If you read later on, and if you read into 1 Corinthians, you'll see there was a process by a process of confirming prophecy. And so that may have been what was going on. We don't know for sure, but probably something. The Word of God is clear. There's no way they would know this other than the Word of God made it clear they were not to go in that direction. They had every bit of inertia moving them in that direction. And nope, don't go this way. Well, you know, it's one thing to have your plans thwarted once, but then again, perhaps multiple times. God may prevent your plans multiple times, and you just want to throw something down and say, I give up. But that's what happens. And so they're on this mission. And it says in verse 7, when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And so if you look at your map, you'll see again, they're headed up. They're probably getting close to Bithynia. Maybe they're getting ready to cross a border there. You can see that red line. They're in Mysia. God hadn't forbidden them from going to Mysia, so that's why they're heading in that direction. Asia is a pretty big area, so they're going up in that direction. And I don't know how they decided, determined to go to Bithynia. It seems to be more than just, hey, why don't we go there? But that they actually were probably moving in that direction. They attempted, it says, to go into Bithynia. And somehow they were, again, thwarted from doing that. They were not allowed. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. The Spirit of Jesus. Now we have the Spirit of Jesus. And again, this is one of two places where this is used. The Spirit of Jesus is used here in Philippians 1:19. Spirit of Jesus. That's the only places you'll find the Spirit of Jesus. Now, you will, if you just search, you'll find the Spirit of Christ in other places. And you wonder, why does it say the Spirit of Jesus? Well, let me ask you, what are they doing? They're doing the work of Christ. As Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, they're ambassadors for Christ. And what did Jesus promise them? I am with you always to the very end of the age. And if you go and read John 14, 15, and 16, you'll learn something about the nature of the Holy Spirit. I confess it's a mystery, but the Holy Spirit is a means by which the Godhead fellowship with individuals. In other words, there's this mystery of communication and presence through the Holy Spirit, where we fellowship with the Father and the Son. And so here, evidently, there is a clear picture of Christ speaking to them. And we also find in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit is going to speak those things that Christ wants to be spoken, reminding them of those things that have been spoken and allowing for that ministry to take place. There's a mystery in that. But once again, we have to ask how the Spirit of Jesus disallowed them. Again, I don't think it's circumstances. I don't think it's a vision. I think it's probably the same thing. Some kind of revelation. The Word of God. Here, the Word of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And probably some discussion. Now, I'm pulling from a later part of this passage to know that there's discussion going on. Because if you actually look at verse 10, you'll see that they come to some conclusions about where they're going to go. What does that mean? That means that there's some kind of discussion. That's probably happening the whole way along. They come to conclusions as they've heard a revelation. Well, let me ask you a question as we think about God closing doors. How should we deal with God blocking our plans? Have you had God block your plans before? Have you been pretty confident that you were supposed to go in X direction and then you go in a different direction? This is where I'm supposed to be, and you felt that confidence. You felt that you'd done your due diligence even. It made the most sense, and God shut the door. Maybe the plans were prayed over. Maybe you even sought counsel. There was great thought and strategy. Maybe your heart was set on these plans, and then boom. So what do we do? We recognize that God is all wise. That's what we do first. We submit to the omniscient God, that He is all wise. Then we also remember that God is good, and that as His children, He will only do good for us. So whatever that change is, God knows what we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We also know that God's plan will prevail. He is going to accomplish His purposes. We're here for his bidding. And as we're doing his bidding, there's nothing better that we could do for ourselves. We have to rest in that. And I have to ask you right now if you believe that. In that moment of frustration, when we do want to just throw something down and say, you know, I don't know what to do then, God. Are we believing him at that moment in time? I know it's easy to say. It's easy to say, well, if it's his will, then that's best. It's harder in the moment to rest in that, isn't it? It's harder to say, I know he has a good plan for me in the midst of it. Our best ideas are never made with omniscience. They're never made with perfect motivations, with perfect love, complete humility. Every one of us has blind spots. Would you confess that today? Would you recognize that today? And would you submit to God and say, God, you know better? Maybe you're in the midst of it right now. Maybe you're wrestling with that right now. Would you just, there's something so freeing. I remember when we were looking for a home and we just didn't know what to do. We had our plans. We were building a house, everything. And then all of a sudden, we didn't know what we were going to do. And I just remember that we just prayed. And God just gave us peace. At that moment, he just gave us peace knowing, I know. And it wasn't, I don't know, a few days after that, that someone came to us and said, I think you're supposed to buy our house. Would you come look at our house? Oh, no, we can't. I think you're supposed to buy our house. Okay. That's the house we're living in today. God knows what he's doing. We tried to build a house ourselves, you know, and it wasn't working, it was clear. How do we know, this is important, how do we know it is God who is closing the door or blocking the plans? That's a fair question to ask, isn't it? You know because you have all that you need for life and godliness and you're seeking his word. You know because of those things. And you know because he's sovereign, but you also know because you're using the wisdom of his word, seeking counsel, because you're in prayer, right? And the last point I won't get to yet is because you know his priorities. We'll get to that. But the word and wisdom are instrumental here, and we'll see it even more as we go through this. We believe that God's revelation was closed after the apostolic age. We believe that with all our hearts, that it's not by vision, it's not by a whisper in your ear, that you're going to be directed this way or that. It's going to be by the word, by counsel, by understanding the priorities of this life. But we have all that we need in this word. And he still guides us that way. Second major point. God directs us by his word and wisdom. So he doesn't just close a door. He actually directs us positively. And we see that in verses 8 and 9. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So don't stop your plans to serve Christ. By the way, when God closes the door, you don't just say, oh, okay, you keep going. And that's what they do. They keep going. Now, if you look at your map, can't go to Asia, can't go to Bithynia. They can either go back to where they've already been or forward. And what do? They go forward. And again, they have a plan. They go to Troas. You say, why Troas? Troas was a major port city. Again, it had a man-made harbor. And so numbers of people came to Troas. Troas is known for its port. Don't stop your plans to serve Christ. They've been blocked from Asia, blocked from Bithynia, and yet they kept going on. You say, well, how long can a person endure being shut down? How long? Some of you have been shut down on numbers of things and just think it wasn't going to work out. I mean, maybe there are some things that aren't supposed to work out. God has a completely different plan. Sometimes it's just a matter of timing. If you've been discouraged, if you have been in that place, your hope has been shaken, if you felt like you failed because this didn't work out for you, you had this plan, maybe you had a plan for this degree or this kind of job, this kind of career, this kind of family, or this location, whatever it is, and it didn't happen. I hope you don't feel this. God let me down. Because now you're getting to a violation of the very attributes of God and his promises. Now you're accusing God in those situations. You're saying something about God which isn't true. The scripture tells you, if you're a believer, that his plans are for your good. Even his disciplinary plans. He didn't let you down. You and I have let ourselves down far more than any other person. God will never let you down. You're in Christ, you know. He will do what is best for you. I want you to just think about it. Can you imagine how many people have faced changed plans at this time in history? Jobs that have been lost? There are still people that aren't back to work. The economy has shrunk. And they're trying to throw a bunch of paper into it to make it better, but the economy has shrunk. It's clear. Education has been radically changed. I'm taking courses on online teaching because in the middle of the last semester, I had to go from face-to-face teaching at Wilmington University to online. And had to do the same thing here, didn't I? Face-to-face to online for a season. Friendships are more challenging. Opportunities are diminished. I know these don't sound like big deals, but for some, you think of some students, and I just think of sports seasons that were ended. They had plans. Maybe this is the last year before, you know, their last chance for a scholarship. Budgets at universities constricted. Musical recitals, performances, ministries, conferences canceled. I mean, all these things are going on. Plans changed radically. What do? Well, you move on. And you keep serving Christ. And that's exactly what they do. They go to Troas, this described in ancient history as one of the famous cities of the world. It's 10 miles south of Troy, ancient Troy. That's where it is. You look at it on your map and you can see, wow, that is strategic. Look at where it is. It's right there on the coast and it's so close to so many places. But what should you do if your plans have been put on hold? You minister right where you are. You bloom where you are planted. You see, God has me here, therefore he has ministry for me here. That's why I'm here on this earth. Wherever I spend my time, in the home, in the workplace, along the way, I minister where I am until such time as I am going in another direction because he's made that clear. We seek counsel. We make our plans according to God's word and wisdom. We look for opportunities, but we don't stop serving Christ. You don't take a break from serving the Lord because you don't have it all figured out. He has work for you to do. But God does direct us by his word and wisdom, and that's what we see in verse 9. This vision that Paul receives in the night. A Macedonian man. You say, well, it's a man. There's nothing that says that it's God there. Not until you get to verse 10, so I'll just bring verse 10 in and tell you it's from God. That they, again, they counseled together. They knew this definitely was from God. They were to head into Macedonia. They may have thought they were to be in Troas at the time. Well, there could be another closed door here. We don't even know it. We just know that they had positive directions, and so they move on. But I'm sure they were ready to minister in Troas, to do whatever they could to share the gospel there. It just isn't described here. But the conclusion is reached in verse 10. You see that they concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel to them in Macedonia. I'll get to that in just a second. So Paul gives, or God gives Paul a revelation, or a vision in this case, and that's not unusual in the book of Acts. So when you look at that, just recognize that this has already happened. We've seen it. It happened with Peter, Cornelius. So we've already seen visions. Visions have occurred. Again, It's not every day that visions were happening, but visions were occurring. It's the way that God revealed himself during this time. This is not normative. This is unique in the apostolic age. But the call is to go to help the people there. You see that in verse 9? Come over to Macedonia and help us. Help us. God makes his will clear by his word. You don't have visions. You don't have special revelation by the Holy Spirit apart from this. But you have everything that you need now in the word of God and through the wisdom of confirming those things by his people. And so he continues to do that today. He continues to guide us. He continues to give us principles. He gives us the body of Christ so that we can seek many counselors. There's safety in many counselors. That's wisdom, and that's what's going on here. Now, explicitly, we see it in verse 10. Explicitly. Principle remains. Now, you may say, sometimes God's plan doesn't make sense. How many of you have felt led to do something that other people looked at you as though you were crazy? I remember when I told my mom that I was leaving Delaware, Kraft Foods, to go to seminary. You're doing what? I'm going to go to seminary. She didn't understand it. It didn't compute for her. And you've probably had situations like that too, where what are you doing? What are you thinking? Why are you doing this? Logically, it seemed best to go north, but God had a different plan. Logically, it seemed best to go to Asia, but God had a different plan. I remember I was just telling one of my children about this. I remember one of my homiletics professors, he had a sermon. And the title of the sermon was, "The Shortest Distance Between Two Points is Often a Zigzag with God." Now, you just read your Bibles, and you tell me if you don't see that that's true so oftentimes. You don't just go from this point to that point. You know, you go up from Ur of the Chaldees, and you go up here, and then you go down to the Promised Land, and the people go over to Egypt, and then they come back, and then after that, they're exiled, and that's recapitulated with Joseph and Mary, isn't it? And they go out of their own land, and they go up to Egypt, and they come back. I mean, we see that this is the case in life. We see it all through the Scriptures. And we could look at Job, we could look at David in the wilderness, we could see all kinds of examples. How critical it is to remember that God is on the throne and he is sovereign over our lives. And that where we are is where God has led us to be at that point in time. You say, well, what if I really did something wrong? You know God's sovereign over that too? And so you obviously repent of your sin. And God is using even that situation to teach you and to draw you nearer to himself. So we can trust the apparent detours. Will you trust the detour? Will you? We can trust the plan that is hindered, that's blocked. We can trust God in that. We come to a halt. Well, these examples keep coming up. I was up going I was doing training at CCEF, and I was driving along a highway, and there was a chemical spill up ahead. The whole highway came to a complete stop. When I say stop, 3 hours. Stop. People were roller skating along the highway. And so I just sat, I was studying for a little while, and there was a lady next to me. And I was just praying. I was actually praying to myself, Lord, if you want me to talk to this person, I'm here for a reason. And we got into a gospel conversation. And so, you know, the Lord is working. We just sometimes don't know exactly how he's working, but he is faithful. And his faithfulness is always something we can rely on, even when our expectations don't come to fruition. There's something transcendent that we have to be aiming for, and that brings us to the last point. God directs us to his priorities. God directs us to his priorities. If you're ever wondering, okay, what am I supposed to do with this situation? How am I supposed to handle this? Hopes and dreams. But now I'm here. What am I supposed to do? Well, let's take a look at verse 10, because God's priorities come first. Verse 10, well, actually, let me go back to verse last part of verse 9. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Okay, that's what the vision was, all right? Macedonian man. And when Paul had seen the vision Immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, first of all, we must have an attitude of obedience to God's direction. So immediately, they're ready to go and do what God has called them to do. Are you ready to surrender your priorities to God? I have you do this. I tell you to do this sometimes. I don't know if anybody ever does this. Write your priorities down on a piece of paper. Just write them down. What are my priorities? And then after that, say, God, these are my priorities, but if yours are different, I just want you to know, I'll set those aside. What you desire matters. I will change. If you stop me from this, I will rest in you. You know, sometimes it helps just to rehearse those things because it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. It's going to happen. You're going to come to a point where you're not going where you thought you were going to go. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared for that moment. He's given us his word so that we would be prepared. I want you to notice the shift from third person to first person. Notice that it goes from they into Paul, third person singular, to we sought to go on into Macedonia. So who's talking? Now someone else is involved. Who's talking? How about the author? How about Luke? The author of the Gospel of Luke, Volume 1, and the Acts of the Apostles, the Book of Acts, Volume 2. Two massive New Testament and important New Testament books, orderly accounts of not only the gospel and the person of Christ, but the spread of the church. I mean, think about what we're learning in the Book of Acts, and here it's Luke. Do you think God knows what he's doing, leading them to Troas to meet Luke, who's going to actually write an account of these things? What do you think? I think God knows what he's doing. So Luke joins them here. And Luke becomes a very important person as he, by God's Spirit, records these two books. There is a strong spirit of obedience. Immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, not complaining, discouragement, abandoning the mission, but just moving forward. They just went. And I can imagine why. I mean, can't go here, can't go here. Here we are, and then God gives them positively where they're to go. Boom, let's go. They know. They concluded together. Remember, this again, that's wisdom. God's word and wisdom. The vision, God's word and wisdom. Counsel from one another. So if God's direction is unclear, what do you do? What do you do? You focus on the priorities. His priorities. And this is one of those places where you see, clear as clear can be, what the priority is. The Macedonian man said, come over. And actually, you could translate this, after coming to Macedonia, help us. We need help. And what is that help? Well, they concluded by the Spirit what it is. They confirmed together, God was telling them, preach the gospel. They need salvation. They need help. They need it now. You say, well, what about Ephesus? What about Colossae? What about Laodicea? They'll get there, but God has them probably pick up Luke and go there now. But lay all the geography aside. Just turn it over. Here you are in your life, and you're in that moment, and you don't know what to do. You have to recognize that God knows what you're supposed to do. And you really can't say that you don't know what to do. Because at the very least, you know that God has you here on this earth to be his ambassador. He has you here on this earth to share the gospel, to minister to those that you have contact with. If nothing else, wherever you're at, you know that that's a priority. You don't know where to start? Start with that. You don't know what to pray for? Pray that God would bless that. And here's what people do. They're looking over here and forgetting everything that's right here in front of them. I got to get there. And so you're passing by all these places, not because God led you to pass them by, but because you chose not to, because you're ministering where you're planted. You're looking over here when right in your face, there are people crying out, maybe not verbally, help me. Your siblings, your family members, your coworkers, Help us. Now, I'm not saying you got a vision for that, but you just know this is God's priority wherever you are. And so we know why they were hindered from going to Asia, why they were kept from going to Bithynia, why they were directed all the way into Macedonia, because God had called them to preach the gospel there. That's why. At that time, at that moment in history. So Paul would be back in that region, and he would minister to those people. And if you read 1 Peter, you'll find out that Peter was evidently in Bithynia and Pontus and Cappadocia and all those other areas that they were thinking about going into. Peter ends up there and writing to them so that they were reached. God knows what he's doing. Doors closed. They kept going. Twice, they kept going. No complaints, they just kept going. God gives them clear direction, and he gives them a priority. What else do we need, brothers and sisters? If you don't have him blocking you, if you don't have a clear direction, you have his priority. So hold on to it. Our human planning is often used of God, but it may also be hindered by God. So be ready. And here, you know what's great about this passage? It's not human planning. It's God directing the itinerary. Who do you want directing the itinerary of your life? Who do you want changing your plans? Flight was canceled. Didn't get into this school I wanted to go to. I didn't get this dream job that I was hoping for. This person doesn't like me that, you know, I really did. We can go on and on, can't we? With examples of how God can thwart our plans. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? And are you ready to say, I'm here for his priorities? And give yourself to that. And you know the amazing thing is as you're giving yourself to that, all the other things work themselves out. Because as you're serving Christ, what happens? Probably you're going to be serving along someone else that's serving Christ as well. And all of a sudden, boom, if it's about a relationship, then you're around those people. And all of a sudden you meet someone who has an opportunity. And you never thought of that opportunity. But because you were there, in this case, because you were there in Mysia close to Bithynia, then you're in Troas, God takes you the rest of the way. But sometimes it's no, no, no. Okay, now we're here. Now you just got to hop over here. He takes us where we need to be as we're serving him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these things will be added unto you. That's the principle of the scriptures. We need his word. We need his wisdom. We don't need to be, you know, in prayer waiting for a voice from God. Pray for direction, but pray with this in mind, and then seek counsel. And then, when you're not sure exactly where to go, go where there's opportunity right now where God has you. How might God hinder your or block your plans today? It may be circumstances that block your plans. He can do that. He also may give you counsel. You have two choices. Maybe some of you have done this. You have two choices, and you looked at God's word, and you sought his will, and then you sought counsel, and you realized one of these opportunities was going to keep you from your family. You're going to be working much longer hours. This one was going to keep you around your family, and so you chose the one that was going to allow you to do the thing you know you're responsible for. That's the way God works. That's wisdom and the word working together, you see? But for some of you, you're here and you don't have clear direction. You're not sure where you're supposed to be. Build your life right now on God's priorities. Look around you. Take that piece of paper where you had your priorities. Take that piece of paper, put a mark on that line, and under it, write down, what are God's priorities for me right now? Right now. And start giving yourself to those things. For those of you who are not yet in Christ, you know the priority. You've heard it. You've heard it time and again. You have no direction. Apart from Christ, you have no direction. The only thing that you know is that apart from him, you can do nothing. You say, well, I can accomplish things. Yeah, but none of it will last. None of it will be lasting And so right now, you know your priority is to turn to Christ and rest in his finished work. Right now, your priority is to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. You say, well, I'm not ready. That's a cop-out. I'm not ready. I've got some more sin to take care of. I've got some more things that I want to do first. Do you want Christ or you not want him? Well, you know, he hasn't saved me yet. Are you seeking him at all? That's a cop-out too. Christ has paid the debt. He has suffered the judgment for all who would believe upon him. So turn from your sins and trust in him. You're right. Your parents, your friends, no one can save you but Jesus Christ. And so turn to him. But it's not going to happen by you closing your Bibles and saying things like, well, he hasn't saved me yet. That's a cop-out. That's a way for you to get away with the things that you want to do and use, you know, election as an excuse for your sin. That will not hold water. Turn to Christ. You're not choosing Christ right now because you don't want him. You don't trust him. So let's get things in their proper order here. Your greatest priority is to turn to Christ in faith. And there's no one else to blame but yourself for not turning to him. Brothers and sisters, let's seek God's priorities. And a part of those priorities are people just like that in our own midst and this world that need Christ. And sometimes we have to speak firmly and to remind them of things, especially when they grow up in the church. Let's pray together. Father, we need you. We thank you that we see Christ so clearly in this passage. Not only are they preaching the gospel of Christ, and they know that that's why they exist, but we thank you that even the Spirit of Jesus is guiding and directing them so that we know the reality that our Savior is with us until the very end of the age. And so we thank you for this truth. We thank you that we are not alone. We thank you that we have that help. And we pray for those that don't, that they would turn to him today. That there would be a sense of urgency on their hearts, that they would be pursuing and seeking, and that their longing would be to be saved, that they would have a real sense of their sin and judgment, and a real sense that they don't want to be under judgment, and to seek Christ. Most importantly, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see how lovely you are, how faithful you are. Lord, we commit this to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.